Welcome to the Erickson Covenant podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us today. We confess that we don't have all the answers, but as a community, we seek to find and follow Jesus and to discover daily the life he has always wanted for us. We hope this message will be encouraging and will inspire you to take the next steps on your spiritual journey. If we can help you in any way, please connect with us. The easiest way is through our website at ericksoncovenant.ca. Let's get started.
Well, I want to welcome you here today formally to our fall teaching series. I'm excited to dive in to the one great big church. We're going to be exploring that this fall, the church that's spread across the earth, down through history, filled up with people of every language, every ethnicity, every social background, nationality, and commissioned by God to show and proclaim the good news about Jesus to the world. One great big church. We're going to be looking at what it means for us to be God's people, formed by God's word and sent into God's mission. We're going to be looking at that this fall, and there's going to be some really unique opportunities that will come up for us to put that all together. More on that as it comes. So what does it mean for us to be part of the one great big capital C church? At its heart, it means that we are now part of a community of people with Jesus at the center. A community, as I said, which spans time, spans the globe, spans history. We're part of this community, and to be the church of Jesus means that we've been brought into a new family. That family's formed around Jesus. That family is united in Jesus. But that family is being continuously renovated. You know the housing projects that just keep on going? That's the church. Because there's a general contractor at work, and he's constantly fixing stuff up and knocking stuff down and putting up new stuff. He's called the Holy Spirit. And he's intent on making the church a fit dwelling for God. Now, as I say the word church, capital C church, little church, we use the word church, I want to always remind us at the outset, I'm not talking about the physical building, right? Talking about the people of God. And that's hard for us to sometimes remember when we say, let's meet at the church. We should remind ourselves by saying, let's meet at the church's building, right? Because we don't gather at the church, we gather as the church. So I just want to remind us, when you hear me say the word church, I am not talking about a cathedral, a storefront, these bricks, as important as a building is. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people of God. And being part of this one great big capital C church doesn't just mean we've got a bunch of buddies, right? I hope you have a few buddies here. But it doesn't mean we have a bunch of buddies here, we're just kind of some associates or blood relatives or birds of a feather. But rather, being part of the church means that you're part of the oddest collection of weirdest sisters and strangest brothers to ever call each other family. And you're going to be that for eternity. So get used to it. Because God adopted us together into his own family, made us part of the one same family. What are the defining marks of this one great big church, this new family that God made? Now, we could point out to a lot of different things for sure, and we're going to feature some of them throughout this teaching series. But one of the instantly identifiable marks or characteristics of this new community is how the people in this family are oriented around each other. They are oriented around each other in a fundamentally different way than other groups. That regardless of who the person is, regardless of where they've come from, regardless of where they might be at spiritually or economically or intellectually or socially, whatever set of odd quirks or sinful traits or impressive skills or winning personalities, the people of Jesus seem to regard one another with very high esteem, with a kind of reverence and a kind of commitment. It's as though they really do believe the Son of God died for the others. and came to live in them. They treat one another as though they're walking, talking God people. You could say that the church of Jesus is devoted to one another in a special kind of way, that their life displays a kind of commitment to each other where each one is seeking the best for the other, desiring God's will to be done in each other's lives, willing to actually serve one another and seek God's face together so that together we might become all that God has created and called us to be. The church, as God's people, are devoted to one another. And they demonstrate that devotion in how they relate and in what they do. And devotion really stands out, doesn't it? We don't use the word devotion or devoted lightly. It's something noticeable. It's something identifiable. When that devotion is there, when someone is devoted or you see devotion, you know it, right? You don't use that word flippantly. In fact, when an early observer looked at the first Christians, the very first Christians that came to follow Jesus, right after Jesus had sent his Holy Spirit into them in the days that were following his resurrection and ascension, it was their devotion that really stood out. And so when Luke was doing his investigation to write the book of Acts, and he talked about how he went to all these eyewitnesses, he talked to people and trying to get a sense of what that early community was like, because he came to faith later. This is the key trait that got relayed to him by those who were eyewitnesses and participants in that first community of Jesus. Luke tells us in Acts chapter 2, 42, that the first Christians devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. That is, with the coming of the Holy Spirit to live in them, their lives were instantly oriented around each other in ways that were obvious to anyone who looked in, who observed. They were devoted. And these Spirit-filled Jesus people were constantly meeting together to learn more about Jesus from the apostles who had followed him, who had been commissioned by him. They were constantly meeting together to grow deeper in fellowship with each other. They were constantly meeting to share. That's what this word devoted means in the Greek. They're constantly meeting to share what had become a very special meal, a special communion meal, the breaking of the bread. They were constantly meeting to pray together, and later we see to praise God together. It's the only word that could be used appropriate to describe them. They were devoted. Not mediocre. Not blasé. Not sporadic. Devoted. Not meh. Not if I'm not too busy. Not as long as they're not going to be there. Devoted. And the eyewitnesses in the book of Acts, they kept rolling out more details, if you read on, that the devotion of these first Christians to each other, it spilled over into incredible generosity with each other. They're sharing finances, they're sharing spiritual gifts, they're sharing life, and they're sharing time. Lots and lots and lots and lots of time with each other, devoted. You can say a lot about these early Christians, but the people who had to describe them, the people who said, they just couldn't do anything better than the word devoted. These people were devoted to each other. We all recognize devotion when we see it, don't we? When I think of the word devoted, I instantly think of the mother hen. I love mother hens, don't you? When they just kind of cluck, 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 right? And they all look a little frazzled. We got one that still looks very frazzled, even though her three kids are way bigger. Maybe that strikes too close to home for some of you, but they cluck around, and they're just so devoted. They're so intense. I love mother hens, and I always want to get in closer and watch her with her chicks, right? But devotion doesn't always want to draw me closer, because when I ran into a devoted mama and her cubs up on the mountain trails above Rhinedale, that's not the picture I got. I have a picture, but it's too far away, and it would have been too fuzzy, and you would have said, that's not a bear, it's a stump. It was a bear with two cubs. I held myself back, and I waited, like a good boy, for her to move along with her devotion. What do you think of when you think of the word devoted? I think of the horse people that I know. like Larissa. Larissa is very devoted as a horse person. And aren't horse people a special kind of devoted? Can we just all acknowledge that? Yes, we can. I also think of service dogs. Incredibly devoted, attentive, devoted to the people in their care. A well-trained service dog is a wonder to behold. When I think of devotion, I always think of the emperor penguin, the male emperor penguin. He's got an egg on his feet. He's not running any ultra marathon soon. He is committed. He is devoted. And have you ever seen pictures? That's a beautiful summer's day in Antarctica, apparently. Have you ever seen them when they're huddled in the snow? When I think of devoted, I think of this guy. But I don't think of her. I don't think of the mom panda who traded her child for an apple. Unless I think of food and her devotion to that, then I maybe think of devoted. When I think of devoted, I always think of Brooke Andrusik, Terry Golder's son. He's the one on the left. He takes Rough Rider devotion to a whole nother level. And I know there's a few among us that are just kind of feeling proud right now that there's guys like him to represent you, because you'd like to be that, wouldn't you? Jerry, you'd like to be that, right? Yes, you would. I know it. Hunters display a level of devotion rarely seen. This is my sister and brother-in-law, and they've been now married over 35 years. The picture on the left is just recent. The other one is from, I think, last year. Friends, they specifically timed their wedding date so it wouldn't interrupt bow hunting season. Devoted, you can decide where the devotion lies, but they've been married 35 years, so it's working. When I think of devotion, I always think of one of our dear elders and also a family member of ours, Francis Edie, who served this church, played a massive role in building this building. This man and his wife, Emma, were very, very dedicated, very devoted to this church and to the Lord. But in particular, those of us who know him, when we think of devotion and we think of Francis, we think of how devoted he was to Emma. Wow. He served her hand and foot over her very long, long life. 101 she lived to be. And he doted on her like a mother hen, utterly devoted to her like no other. I always think of Francis. And that's the past generation. They're gone now. But what about the latest? When I think of devotion, my mind is always drawn to the newest mom among us with her newest baby. And so I immediately thought of Lauren, baby Jack, and I reached out, and proud father Graham sent me a beautiful picture. Thank you, Graham, of this picture of Lauren and baby Jack. Now that, my friends, is devotion, isn't it? And of course, when I think of devotion, I can't help but think of Jesus himself and his devotion to us, his devotion to the world. I simply want to stare that he would love us so much. This is a wonderful work of art, a lot of art produced by this artist who takes key scriptures and then kind of provides almost an exegetical rendering of them, a beautiful picture, and makes them available for use in churches like this. This one's based on Colossians 1, how Christ is the head of the church, and it depicts a little bit of his devotion, how he laid down his life for us, how he loves us even now, lives for us even now, devotion. When we know it, when we see it, we know it. It has a look and a smell, doesn't it? Devotion. Which is why the devoted lives of these first Christians stood out so much, and why we're told by the Lord himself, through his apostles, he who is devoted to the church, by a man devoted to the church, that we are, in Romans 12:10, to be devoted to one another with mutual love, showing eagerness in honoring one another. We're told, instructed, dare I say, commanded to be devoted, to orient ourselves around each other. We're actually commanded to seek the best for each other, to show an eagerness in honoring one another. I had to sit and think about that because it's something to consider, isn't it? How am I eager to honor you? Use that phrase for a moment. Just think of it in your mind. How are you eager to honor me? someone else, each other. Work that through in your mind. Just sit with that phrase for a moment. How am I eager to honor my brother or my sister in Christ? And maybe put a name or two to them as you're sitting here even today, as you're with us online. Think of, I hesitate to use names here, but can I use Peter? There's enough Peters around. There's a few Lucases in the house. Let's see, there's a few Catherines in the house. I'll just use these generic names. What does it mean for us to eagerly desire to show honor to Peter or to Catherine? What would eagerness to honor as a noticeable characteristic in our community, what would that look like? What would that do? How might that transform the way that we even relate if everyone's walking around super eager to honor the other? I should just pray and close right now. But you know me, I got to keep going for a bit. Because, you know, in the larger context of this little verse, it's near in the end. We already heard it read, but we're going to read it again. We see kind of how that devotion is fleshed out, because there's a lot of specific, challenging, imperative commands given. And I want you to hear these encouragements again as instructions for how a Christian community can show devotion, be devoted to one another. And as I read it again, to hear it as, what would this kind of devotion look like expressed in our community? Love must be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another with mutual love, showing eagerness in honoring one another. Do not lag in zeal. Be enthusiastic in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Endure in suffering. Persist in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And let me just qualify that for a moment. That is a word that applies to the whole family. You're not looking at that guy and going, well, that's no saint in my books. I'm not giving him $5. No, saints is a generic term that covers all of us sinners, because in Jesus we stand holy. So contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who weep. How about rejoice with those who rejoice? Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not be conceited. That goes on, but I'll stop there. Devotion, somehow at its very core, means that we are truly, unconditionally, sacrificially, and intentionally for each other. That I am for you. And you are for me, and we can trust even when we mess up. Because we do, right? Even when we get things wrong, we can somehow say, but I know we are for each other. Let's work this out. I am for you, and we're going to engage in that conflict well. I am for you, and so I'm going to pray for you. I'm devoted to see the life of Christ developing in you, and so I'm going to do whatever it takes to see you flourish. It's you seeking to support and help another person grow in Christ, forgiving each other when we fail, because we're going to fail lots, and not just getting offended. Don't get offended and stomp out because someone says the wrong thing, does the wrong thing, smells the wrong way. Don't do that, but rather overcome evil with good, by leaning back in, by pursuing hospitality, by persisting in prayer and enduring in suffering and rejoicing in hope, continuing to pursue each other because we are for each other. Well, what does this all mean for us as people of the one great big church? expressed here in our local fellowship at Erickson Covenant Church. I want to offer you three ways this hits the ground for us today. Practical application. Are you ready for this? You might want to write this down. Oh, you have better memories than I do. First, to be God's people, devoted to one another, means that we are present to each other. The example of the early church has always been very challenging to us as the church, because they're super present in each other's lives. They don't hold each other at a distance. They don't see church as a service they attend an hour and a quarter a week. That's a priority for them, of course. But they're present to each other in every way they can be. There's a sense in which they want to be with each other so that they can grow together, so they can worship God together, so they can learn more together. They're devoted, but they're present to each other in that devotion. It would have been very difficult to describe that early church as devoted if they never showed up. Do you agree? What a lame word, right? Like, what do you mean devoted? I haven't seen the guy in 6 months. He's not devoted. He's a slacker. Is it okay to say that? Hypothetically, I'm talking about the people back in Acts 2, of course. Devoted is the word used because it's the only way to describe these people. Man, they're always showing up. They're always there. Every time I show up, he's there eating my food. Every time I show up, she's there. They're present to each other. So here's my very practical challenge. You know where this is going, don't you? I don't even have to tell you what comes next, do I? Sign up for a Connect group. I am not kidding. Do not let this be the only time you think you're present to brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not good enough. It's vital that we worship God together, that we serve one another, that we provide a context for our kids to learn, that we provide a context for new people who are exploring faith to gather. It is essential that we gather to receive good teaching. I hope good teaching. This is essential. But it is not enough. And so the very first thing you need to do is make church, church family, a devoted part of your week. That it actually shows up with intention in your calendar. We all got stuff that we put in our calendar. We're all busy. I get it. So make the decision to be present to your brothers and sisters in Christ. And one of the critical ways you can do that is sign up for a Connect group this fall. But also, walking together in spiritual friendships, as I've been encouraging you to do. Find a partner that you can connect with, to pray with, to talk about your life in Christ with, to encourage one another in faith. Continue to gather. Make this a priority Sunday morning. When I say it's not good enough, I'm not downplaying our time together. It's critical. And way too many Christians are not devoted. And I'm not, please hear me. Like, this is not like a weird shaming pressure thing. I'm just saying, I'm encouraging you to make our corporate times of connection and worship something special, where you're devoted to this time together, where we are able to worship God together, encourage one another, serve one another. That's coming up next. But make church a devoted part of your week. Second, to be God's people, I'm going to just go further with that. Devoted to one another means that we participate, yes, in worship, yes, in community, but also in the mission that God has called us into. We can't be devoted in any significant or meaningful way if we don't actually get alongside each other. God has called us together, not just to sit in seats beside strangers who have a random brush and a hay and, you know, not good enough. But to participate together, to serve beside each other, yes, to worship the King together, to come shoulder to shoulder. Whether we're working or praying or playing, the sense that we are called to participate together in God's mission to a hurting and a lost world. What does this mean application-wise? I'm asking you to up your serving in the church, to the church, this year. Take it up a notch. For some of you, it means actually starting to serve, because you haven't found a regular, definable way in which you actually serve your brothers and sisters at church. when we gather, but also through the week. I'm not just talking about our service times. You haven't found that. And I'm just asking you to take it up a notch. Whatever it is, turn it up. Some of you are serving lots, and I get that. And, you know, maybe Jesus is asking you to turn it down. I don't know. Make room for other people. I don't know. But, man, you are a tiny group. Most of us, we can genuinely examine where we're at and say, okay, Lord, how do I increase my devotion to your people this year? How do I up the service? And I'm asking you to do that. I'm very candidly asking you to do it because there's a lot of places where few people are feeling pretty stretched in their areas of ministry. Some of that is right here while we gather. You know it takes lots of hands to make this work, right? Can we all acknowledge that? Can we all give a big thank you to those who are on the tech team? Yeah. I happen to know, because I'm married to one of them, that they feel stretched. That they wish a couple more people would come up and say, I want to help. I want to learn. I'm not daunted by all this technology. Just, if that guy can do it, I can do it. You know, what's that, Olin? Training provided. Training is provided. I also happen to know that people on the hospitality team feel a little stretched. Do you know, I dare say every single one of you, with only a couple of exceptions, could really work in that kitchen well. That you could really lighten the load by just offering to help. Get on a team. It's every couple weeks, and then you have 4 weeks off. It is not hard, but it is vital. Because setting the stage for us, helping welcome new people in, being a greeter that actually smiles at people, all those things, they contribute to our community life together. I happen to know, also, that the folks with our kids, particularly with the younger ones, they also could use a little more support. Bonnie and I and Brandon have talked about this, and they could use two more people that are willing to go through the training and support the ministry, the vital, vital ministry. You know, what's happening here is second level to what's happening back there. Can we all agree with that?
Yes. Yeah.
And so the vital work that's happening around, we need some more support in that team. Now, I'm pointing out these things. There's more. I know that we could use a little more support in maintaining the facility. I also know, because you see me leading a lot of music up here, we could use some more help in the music department. If you want to see me lead a little less, please step forward. All that to say, can I just appeal to you as your friend and as your pastor, but also as the guy who's trying to help these different ministry teams and the leaders in these different ministry teams not burn out? That we just need the whole community to up their serving one notch. It would make an enormous difference in our community life. It would make an enormous difference in our service life. Beyond our service life, thinking about how do we engage as you get to know people through connect groups, as you get to know people through friendships, as you connect people here, there will also be opportunities to up our service in personal ways, in ways the Holy Spirit leads you to get alongside people and serve them and make a difference in their lives. That's not quite as organized, if you understand, but it's still a vital way. Find a way to up your service this year. That is the practical application. Third, to be God's people devoted to one another means praying with and praying for each other. Prayer. Last night, I stayed up way too late praying around a campfire with some other pastors in this valley from other churches. It was awesome. And one of the things we talked about as we were praying for you, praying for the other churches, is we're realizing just how critical it is that we not only prioritize our relationship with each other, not only that we are praying together, but we're praying for you, praying for our church. And I'm asking you to prioritize prayer for the church as well. To actually make prayer for each other a regular part of your life. That you would put up some kind of prayer reminder, maybe a note on your, when you're brushing your teeth or on your dashboard of your car. Maybe you want to make a list that you go through every day at breakfast. I don't know how you want to do it, but make an actual concrete way of prioritizing prayer for one another in just simple ways. To pray for our young people, to pray for our elderly, to pray for our families. Do you know it's hard raising kids these days? Has anyone figured that out? Our moms and dads, our grandmas and grandpas, our uncles and aunts, they need you praying for them. They do. And maybe as you pray for them, the Holy Spirit will actually reveal to you or show you a way in which you can encourage them and serve them as well. But to make it a priority to pray for them. I ask that you would pray for me regularly. I know a lot of you do. And those of you who don't, please do. I need it. But also pray for our leadership team. Pray for your Connect Group leaders. Pray ultimately that there'll be a move of the Holy Spirit among us. And if there's people in this community that really tick you off, it's okay. You don't say it out loud, but you know, it's okay. In your mind, yep, people that irritate me. Take that as a clue from God to pray for them. You know? If people get a look at your prayer list and they think, why am I on that list? Just let them wonder. Say, well, the Holy Spirit drew my attention to you and I decided to commit you to a regular prayer time. And be praying also for those who are among us, who are connecting with us, often here, often in other ways, who are exploring faith in Jesus, who are being drawn to Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Over the last year, I've had a number of friends who have found their way into this community, in and out, who the Holy Spirit is drawing. And I want to just tell you how happy I am and proud I am that they have found such welcome in this community. But would you take it up another level and start praying for those in relationship with you and others, that this would be a community in which they find Jesus? Would you join with me in praying for that? I know that as I was preparing for this, I really felt the Holy Spirit convict me. Tom, you know, yes, you pray for the church, but you need to take it up 4 or 5 notches in your prayer for the church. And so I am going to take it up 4 or 5 notches. And some of you will really make it on my list because I love you. Prioritize prayer for the church. To be devoted to one another. You got to be present. You got to participate. And we got to pray. My hope and my prayer is that we would experience more of this devotion, more of this devotedness, that it would actually begin to change our experience of church, the body of Christ, the family of God, that we begin to participate in ways that start to change us, move us, form us. That devotion will grow as we begin to experience other people eager to show me honor and me eager to show them honor. That we would all experience more of being known, of being loved, of being encouraged, of growing together. And so as the team comes to lead our final song, let me close with this prayer from 1 Thessalonians 3. This is the prayer. May the Lord make your love, Erickson Covenant Church, increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours, just as mine does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Amen.
Thanks for listening in today. We hope you feel encouraged and challenged. If you know someone who would benefit from what you have heard today, please share this podcast. For more information, or if you have questions, you can connect with us through our website, ericksoncovenant.ca. You can also find us on Facebook by searching for Erickson Covenant Church.